O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and beasts of the field, and fowl of the air and fish of the sea, and everything that passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. May we pray. Father, we're grateful today for Jesus Christ, our great nation, our representative in the space program, Dr. Shannon Lucid, her fellow cosmonauts from Russia, Yuri and Yuri. I ask that as this message will be sent to them, this great music, that their hearts would be moved toward Christ, all to your honor and to your glory. We know that before the morning stars sang together, before the rivers ever ran to the sea, thou art God, and beside thee there's none other. We thank thee for thy creation today. Bless this service to glorify him who alone is worthy. In his name we ask it, with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. Now if you'll open your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 12, and I shall read some select verses down through verse number 26. Would you join with me in standing in honor of the Word of God? Isaiah, chapter number 40. I'll begin reading at verse 12 after we pray. May we pray together. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are today for your kindness to usward, for the opportunities that we have to be together, to have this wonderful service, to glorify Christ. I pray now that as the scripture is read, there might be a comprehension and understanding by all who hear it that this is the Word of God. I pray that you would bless the service to glorify Christ alone, and to reach to those, dear Lord, who find themselves on a mission unparalleled, perhaps, in the history of the world. Things that may be accomplished through this space endeavor, I pray for your will to be done. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, we ask it all. Amen. In the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter number 40, I read at verse number 12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Verse 17 says, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then shall we liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Verse 25 says, to whom then will we liken? Will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Thank you, and you may be seated. On March the 22nd, at 3:30 a.m., my wife and I witnessed the launching of the spacecraft Atlantis from Cape Canaveral, Florida. I do not have the words to tell you how spectacular, how awesome. Nothing before like it in all of our lives, of course. It was an experience of a lifetime. And from that moment till this, we have been excited about dedicating this service on Sunday, April the 14th, 1996, to the American astronaut, Dr. Shannon Lucid, and her two Russian counterparts, Yuri and Yuri, all three of whom are aboard the Russian space station Mir, somewhere in space. I understand this is to be the first church service ever to be sent to outer space. And Shannon, your desire to be nearer to God than your dear dad, Dr. Oscar Wells, has finally come to pass. I understand that from childhood you always wanted to be a notch higher than your dad. You are today a witness to the saving power of Jesus Christ. As a born-again believer, we're happy that you are representing the finest in American technology. The eyes of the world are upon you. Your record-breaking experience is being written in the annals of history. We commend you for your courage. We greet you and your fellow astronauts, or as they are better known, cosmonauts, in the name of the great God of the universe, who according to Psalm 104 and verse 3, maketh the clouds his chariot, and walketh upon the wings of the wind. Hey, I've got a suggestion for you. Look out the window. Look out of the window of your space house and see that Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3, are absolutely true. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. God is controlling your spacecraft. God is upholding all things by the word of his power. My text declares that God sitteth. I read it to you from verse 22. It is God that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And Job says in his 22nd chapter at verse 14, he walketh in the circuit of heaven. By the way, scientists, as you know, thought for many years that the world was flat. In fact, until the days of Christopher Columbus in the 15th century A.D., navigators would not go far beyond their home port for fear that they would fall off the edge of the earth. But ladies and gentlemen, Isaiah, the prophet of God, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, knew in the 8th century before Christ that the earth is round. I like it. Science is catching up with the Bible. I think I ought to remind you that not one true scientific discovery or one archaeological find has ever contradicted the Word of God. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Now, we do not need science to help us know that this is God's Word, but science and true science and the Bible are on the same page. Shannon, at the moment that you were launched into outer space, I believe for the 6th time, my wife and I were praying with your father and George Burke that God would give you a safe flight into space. And we continue to pray for your safety during your extended stay, as well as for the safety of your return to the earth. Your two fellow cosmonauts, I think, would be interested in knowing that in 1990, Worth Baptist Church purchased and distributed 100,000 Bibles in your Russian homeland. We were there in Moscow, together with several members of the church, to begin the distribution of these Bibles printed in the Russian language. It is our sincere prayer that the music and message from this hour of worship will be a blessing and an inspiration to the three of you as you explore the beauty and majesty of God's immense world of space. And remember, this is my Father's world. He's there. In fact, he's everywhere. I'm reminded of the story of the man who said to the little girl, "Darling, if you'll tell me where God is, I'll give you a big red apple." She said, "Sir, if you'll tell me where God is not, I'll give you two big red apples." He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the Alpha and Omega, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's God of heaven. He's God of earth. He's the God of space. And that's my message today, the God of space. First, I would have you note that the God of space is the God of creation. I hasten to tell you that without apology, without hesitation, without equivocation, without reservation, we proudly declare our belief in the Genesis account of the creation. We believe, "Thus saith the Lord." Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." These four words, ladies and gentlemen, say it all. In the beginning, God. These four words refute atheism, agnosticism, humanism, evolutionism, and all the other isms and wasms that ever have been or shall be. It is written clearly in Isaiah 45:18, "Thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." In the book of Job, which, by the way, is the oldest book in the Bible, in the 9th chapter of the book of Job, verse 4 says, "He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him and prospered? Which removeth the mountains and they know not. Which overturneth them in his anger. Which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble. Which commanded the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars. Which alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. Which maketh Arcturus, Orion, Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. Which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number." Ladies and gentlemen, it is a small thing for three people to be in a space station. In God's sight, it is a small thing for them to be there, because he does many wonders that cannot be numbered. It speaks in the book of Job here about the sun. The sun is one of the billions of stars in our galaxy, the Milky Way, and there are over 1 billion galaxies. I read in Psalm 147 and verse 4. This is an intriguing passage. Listen to it. "He," that is God, "telleth the number of the stars." By the way, did you know scientists are saying that there are 200 billion stars? But listen, "He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names." God, our God, is greater than all the earth and heaven and space combined. And he knows the name of every star. You astronauts may name or find or explore or discover a new planet, but you won't have anything on God. He'll not be surprised, because the God of the universe never sleepeth. And he's all wise, and he has it all in his hand. Listen to Psalm 148, a few verses there. Psalm 148, beginning at verse 1, says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light." All 200 billion, billion stars are commanded to praise God. "Praise ye him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass." The eternal work of God is manifested in the heavens. And ladies and gentlemen, did you know that of those 200 billion, billion stars, many of them are larger than our sun? Isn't it an amazing thing who God is, what God is, and what he's able to do? "And let it be known all over the earth and into the farthest reaches of space, from the Milky Way to the galaxies of the quasars, all that are billions of light years away, let it be known that we believe the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, impeccable, indestructible, pure, powerful, perfect, productive, precious Word of the living God." Oh, but Pastor, that sounds a bit dogmatic, doesn't it? Well, I hope so. Because you see, when it comes to the inspiration of God's Word, I'm dogmatically dogmatic. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And God's alive today. I remember back in the 60s, over in one of the southern states at some university, several professors got together and they pronounced God dead. They said, "God's dead." I said, "Who preached his funeral? Who were the pallbearers? Where did they bury him?" And God gave me this little poem, "God is dead, the theologians say, but I know he's not. I talked with him today. Dead, never to live again, they claim, but alive to save through his son's dear name. Alive, alive, let it be said, God will be living when the theologians are dead." God is the God of creation, and that includes space. Number two, the God of space is the God of salvation. The same God who created all things, who sits upon the circle of the earth, who walks upon the wings of the wind, who tells the number and names of the stars, who stretches out the heavens as a canopy, who gave the sun to rule by day and the moon to rule by night, who is the Alpha and the Omega, who fills heaven and earth with his majestic glory. The same God who created the laws of aerodynamics that make it possible for men and women to travel in outer space is the God who condescended to our low estate and brought us salvation through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. For God so loved the world. That includes those of you in space now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isaiah wrote, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who his own self, Peter writes in his first epistle, chapter 2, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Neither is there salvation in any other. Not in the scientist, not in the philosopher, not in the educator, not in the economist, not in the environmentalist. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, this is God's man of salvation. And there is no other. Science can cleanse your clothes, but not your soul. Science can remove your stain, but not your sins. Science can take you into outer space, but not into heaven. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away your sins, and only Jesus Christ can take you to heaven. He put it this way in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. No man can reach into heaven. No man can educate himself into heaven. No man can rationalize his way into heaven. No man can environmentalize his way into heaven. The only way is the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. By the way, one of the Hebrew words in our Bible for forgiveness is spelled N-A-S-A. NASA. National Aeronautics and Space Administration. You didn't know you're written up in the Bible, did you? Forgive is NASA in the Hebrew. And I'm glad that God can forgive on earth. God can forgive in space. God can forgive yesterday, today, and tomorrow. For the God of space, ladies and gentlemen, is the God of salvation. I note in the third place that the God of space is not only the God of creation and the God of salvation, but he's the God of consummation. Standing across the Banana River in Florida, just across from the launching pad at Cape Canaveral, we felt the earth literally tremble as the Atlantis lifted off and made its flight to another world. NASA was performing at her strongest with millions and millions of pounds of thrust. Why, ladies and gentlemen, as we stood there, the birds flew out of their nighttime nest. The fish jumped up out of their watery habitat. And the earth shook as the night sky lit up. But wait, one day, God will shake the earth and heaven. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Joel chapter 2 and verse 10 says, the Lord shall quake, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. On in Joel chapter 2 at verse 30, and I will show wonders in heaven above and in the earth beneath, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon shall be turned into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. I continue in Joel, Joel chapter 3 at verse 15, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. Isaiah 13:13 says, therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Ladies and gentlemen, there is coming a day of judgment. God's going to even the score. We can laugh at God. We can deny his existence. We can say that he is not. But ladies and gentlemen, God is the great judge of the universe, and he will judge all men of all nations, of all nationalities, of all tongues, of all languages, of all colors, of all creeds, of all cultures, of all continents, of all countries, all over the world and in outer space. Could I read you the awesomeness of it from the Revelation chapter? And the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The God of salvation, the God of creation, is the God of consummation. And every man must stand before God to give an account of himself. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and we must all give account of ourselves, the Bible says, before God. I want to hasten to tell you there is no place to hide. Listen to what the psalmist said in his 139th chapter. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Ladies and gentlemen, outside of Jesus Christ, the ark of safety, the refuge of your soul. There is no hiding place from the wrath of Almighty God. But before all of this awesome day of cataclysmic judgment comes, there will be the rapture of the church. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we've been through the museums, and we've been through the space center, and we've seen all these space suits, and we are told that heat cannot go in through them, and cold cannot go through them, and they're safe in those suits. But one day, my friend, listen to me. God's going to give us a space suit that will defy all the elements. It will circumvent all the laws of science. And as we rise to meet Jesus in the air, we'll be safe on a nonstop excursion to meet the Lord in the air. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of Christ shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Oh, I think I ought to tell you, we'll have the capability of re-entering Earth's atmosphere as well. Now, one of the problems that they have with every spaceship that goes up is proper re-entry. They have to insulate it and make it fireproof with hundreds of thousands of degrees of heat. But listen, we will have, I say, the capability of re-entering Earth's atmosphere. For after a honeymoon of 7 years in heaven, the marriage supper of the Lamb, we shall return with Jesus when he comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon the earth. And John writes in the Revelation, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also they that pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Behold, I come quickly, Jesus says, and my reward is with me. And Shannon, God bless you for your testimony as a born-again believer. I know you miss your M&Ms. That's what she said. And you miss your husband and your children and your church and your pastor. But Shannon, if Jesus comes before August, you won't have very far to go. And I trust that Uri and Uri will be ready as well. Perhaps you ought to get tuned up on, Lord, I'm coming home. Or as the newspaper editor suggested, nearer, my God, to thee. I've got good news for you. In fact, I've got good news for every member of Adam's race. Whether he is on earth or in outer space, you can be saved from the cataclysmic judgment that's coming upon the inhabitants of this world. It's so simple. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says in John 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Listen to what Jesus says. You talk about escaping the judgment. Listen to this. John 5:24 puts it so plainly. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, that is judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Eternal life through Jesus Christ is yours for the asking. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The God of space, who is the God of creation, the God of salvation, and the God of consummation, is looking down upon Space Station Mir. And he's looking down upon you and me right here on this planet. He sees every one of us. I invite you to come to Jesus Christ, to trust him as your own personal Savior. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come unto me, Jesus said, come unto me, and I myself, that's the way he really said it, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I myself will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. In outer space we bid you adieu in Godspeed. May God be with you through the trackless miles of space and bring you back to your family and to your home safely and soundly. Bring you back with a renewed hope that Jesus Christ is coming, and all believers all over the world, on the sea, in the oceans, on the mountains, in the deserts, in the valleys, in the spaceships, will rise to meet him in the air. And so until we meet you on the ground, we look forward to meeting you in the air, in that great meeting in the air. May God bless you as we stand together, please, with our heads bowed, as our eyes are closed before the Lord this morning and God is speaking to your heart. I would say to you right up front, listen very carefully while every head is bowed. If you need an altar, you don't have to wait till we sing. You can just step right out of your seat right now. Come forward. There'll be someone to meet you, to help you if you need help, if you need instruction and guidance, or if you just want to come on your own. If you want to come and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, I bid you to do it now. If you want to come and just have a prayer of thanksgiving for this service, what God has wrought in this service, across the nation and perhaps even around the world, men will hear about this service and in outer space. If you want to come and just say, thank you, Lord, for letting me be a part of this service. If you want to come and pray a prayer of dedication, dear Lord, I rededicate my life to you. If you want to come and join the fellowship, come today, come now, come this moment. Father, speak to our hearts today. You know every need. Each individual, we don't have to ask who does what and where and when and why. They know and you know. And I pray now that the Holy Spirit would speak to every one of us, those who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Please bring them to Christ in this hour. Those, Heavenly Father, who need a church home, may they come today and unite with this fellowship and be a part of such a ministry to carry the gospel around the world. For those, dear Lord, who need help, who need strength and counsel and wisdom and prayer, may they come even now in Jesus' name.